Hello, hello, and welcome to the Scotchcast for the week of December 23rd, 2014. My name is Conrad Kirby, also known as Thurbleton, and joining with me today are two lovely people who are part of the, who were the members of the Mighty Electronic Box, or are the members of the Mighty Electronic Box. Ballard!
Hello!
How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm pretty good on my Christmas break now. No longer studying, exams are over. I feel relaxed for the first time in ages.
Nice. So, nice. Congrats. Yeah. And then also, I guess rounding out the table, is Joe.
Hello.
I do, like, do you have an online handle, or is this Joe, right?
It's JTB on the forums and such.
Yes.
That's what I'm usually known as.
I guess props to both you guys for having the online handles that are very close to your actual name.
Mine's pretty boring in that regard.
Well, yeah, but it's like someone at work who I've played games with knows that like my online handle is Thurbleton, and so they will occasionally call me that at work, and it just feels out of place.
Yeah,
feels weird, and they know it does. But anyway,
is that why they do it?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're just poking fun at me. But yeah, we are going to talk to you guys about what your favorite games of this year / coming out next year are and were.
That sounds like a good plan.
Yes, we'll start off with Brad.
Yeah, sure.
Ballard.
I'm sure we'll all agree at some point that this year has been not necessarily a strong one for big releases per se. So I think we all struggled to put together a top 10 list. I mean, I only managed to really put together a top 5 list of what I've been playing this year. But there's definitely been some highlights for me, and it's mostly been like indie games that have really caught my attention this year. The big games that I played that I can name are Destiny, which I thought was rubbish. The shooting was nice, but it's not a good game. I also played Grid Autosport, which is a pretty good racing game, but it's nothing to write home about and nothing that I got super excited about. But other than that, I haven't really played anything massive. I played the Call of Duty. Did you guys play the Call of Duty this year?
The Advanced Warfare's Call of Duty?
Yes, that's Call of Duty.
I think that's the only one that came out this year. No, I didn't, but I mean, I heard it was a solid improvement.
Yeah, it was probably the most fun I've had playing a Call of Duty since, like, Modern Warfare. But that's largely because I stopped playing after Modern Warfare 2. And haven't played one since then. So it was kind of, like, nice to go back and do that for a little bit again, just for a change.
Now, have you played the Titanfall? Like, even just at a friend's house, or?
I played the beta, and okay. Then I was like, oh, that was fun. I'm definitely not buying the full game. The beta was literally all I ever needed to play of Titanfall to get my fill.
Fair decision, but how'd that compare to, like, it? They didn't copy, like, one didn't copy the other. They came up with the design decisions, like, it took years to develop that, but they're fairly similar.
I just want to call something out whilst Joe is here. I'm pretty sure last year I said that mechs are the future of FPS games, and then, lo and behold, Titanfall, Advanced Warfare, you know, like, everything has had mech-type stuff in it. And I just
that's true.
Exoskeletons.
Yes.
They haven't really, like, lit the world on fire.
Oh, no. No.
What I hear.
But my prediction came true. Haha.
Yeah, then now they just need to make, like, a really good one.
Yeah, they just need to make, like, Gundam, the video game, or, like, something like that. Yeah. That'd be pretty sweet.
From what I've seen of Advanced Warfare, like, the changes look cool, but I kind of wish they took it, like, even further than what they have.
Yeah, it's the best thing about Advanced Warfare is now you actually have to look up and down. Like, it actually has the verticality is, like, kind of crazy, because, like, before you could just back into a corner and just be like, I'm fine. Now you can back into a corner and some dude will climb on the roof of the building that you're standing next to and shoot you in the head. And you're just like, huh, okay, this is different. It's interesting. But no, Titanfall. The thing about Titanfall for me was I decided that going in the big shiny robots was completely pointless and would make you play worse. So what you would do is you would stand on your feet and shoot all the big robots because they're really easy to hit, and then just murder everyone. And you did way better than everyone else in the game. And I was just like, well, this kind of sucks.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm curious, have either of you guys, like, I played a bit of the Unreal Tournament back in the day, and just, like, a little bit of, like, Doom and Quake, but just, like, those types of games that were, arena shooters where verticality was a big thing. Does it seem like what is old is new again, or is this just like a new take on, or is what do you guys think about that comparison?
I mean, I am not one who, I was quite young when those kind of shooters were popular. Like the shooters I grew up on were the Halos and stuff like that. So I haven't got much experience with like Unreal Tournament and, what's it called? Quake and the like. From what I've seen, from the gameplay of Quake, which I have watched people play obviously before, it doesn't seem necessarily related. Like, obviously there's a similar component, but I don't think it's what is old becoming popular again. Like, how there's a new Unreal Tournament in the works, the free-to-play one?
Yeah.
I think if that becomes popular, it won't be because, like, faster-paced shooters are popular again. It'll be because, you know, that's got loads of cool mods and stuff. I think it's just that the current shooter format is still really stale and they needed something to differentiate it. And I think the climbing and verticality part of what Titanfall and what the new Call of Duty does is different from what Quake and Unreal Tournament did.
I guess the question is, do you think it's more like movement and is it movement and reactionary based combat, or is it still just like cover and twitch reaction?
I think it's definitely still twitch based. That seems to, like, Call of Duty is still Call of Duty. Like, you still die quickly, you still can camp, you can still, you know, it just makes it a little bit less viable.
Yeah. It's regenerating health instead of health bars, so that's fair. All right.
Yeah, and they don't make use of, like, map control and other stuff that games like Quake, you know, really emphasize, because, like, you got to control where the weapon spawns are, and you've got to, like, you know, maybe making loops of the maps to pick up all the armor and the health and stuff.
We need to talk about something else, because this is really making me jonesing to play some Unreal Tournament.
You'll have to show me the ropes in Unreal Tournament sometime, maybe.
I played a lot of Unreal Tournament at uni, and I haven't played like Call of Duty much to make a comparison, but I think what Brad said sounds pretty accurate. I don't think it's comparable still.
Yeah.
You should definitely play Unreal Tournament, Brad.
I'm going to play the shit out of that new one. What's the 4? Is that the free-to-play one that they're working on?
Are they even, like, this year has been the year of not putting numbers on things.
Well, they announced that they're making, it's going to be free-to-play, open source, so that, like, people can make, like, whatever crazy insane mods that they want. And then they're going to make a store where they sell, like, mods, basically, or asset packs for the game. And it's going to make revenue that way, which sounds really exciting.
That sounds really cool, especially like making mods and stuff with Unreal's not that difficult. Like,
exactly. It was all to push the newest Unreal Engine and get people using it, I think.
Cool. What's next on the list?
Yeah, so that's my sort of experience for big AAA titles this year. Yeah, it's not really been a whole lot, but what I can tell you about is the best game that came out this year. Do you want to know what the best game that came out this year was?
I feel like it's the fourth on your list, but go ahead.
Wait. Are you looking at my game of the year list on Giant Bomb at the moment?
No, on the spreadsheet that we have.
Oh, right, yeah. No, that would be a little bit biased. No, the game of the year, the best game that came out this year, without a shadow of a doubt, was Shovel Knight.
Okay, yeah.
The year peaked really early on, and then since then it was just like a downward spiral into boredom. But yeah, seriously, I can't talk enough praise for Shovel Knight. I really think it's one of the most polished like platformers that I have played in a long time. The music's fantastic, the art is fantastic. I played the shit out of it. I think I played like 30 hours of it or something stupid. And I'd highly recommend anyone to check it out.
Did you ever try for the, like, no checkpoints, way of playing?
Not intentionally, but I mean, I started learning the speedrun route for it. And in the speedrun, to get enough gold so that you don't have to go back and, like, farm, in the early levels, you smash the checkpoints just to get enough gold to do it anyway. So, like, I can beat the majority of the early levels without any checkpoints quite easily. I didn't mess too much with New Game Plus. I don't know if you know how the New Game Plus works in Shovel Knight, but instead of taking a half a heart of health when you get hit, you take a whole heart. And also, I think there's a few other changes to the way the enemies work. But I think a new game plus, it would be really tough to do no checkpoint runs and destroying all the checkpoints.
One of the things that I talked, I think, at length about it the last episode, but just quickly, ADGQ, Awesome Run Stunt Done Quick, whatever it's
awesome
called.
Awesome Game Stunt Quick.
Yeah, that someone is doing Shovel Knight, and I...
Is it Cap'n Drake, or is it someone else?
I don't know who, I just know I'm going to watch it, I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I have no good excuse other than I haven't found the time to sit down and play Shovel Knight, so...
The coolest stuff in the Shovel Knight run is the quick boss kills. There are some of the bosses that you can destroy just so quickly. It feels really sweet when you get it. I've got the Mole Knight quick kill quite a few times. That one's quite easy. And Treasure Knight as well. You can pogo on his head and then he jumps up to the ceiling. And you can trap yourself between the ceiling and his head and then just go bing, 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 bing. And like just absolutely trash him really, really quickly. It's really satisfying. That's the cool thing about Shovel Knight. Like, I've never played a Mega Man game, but Shovel Knight has the same kind of boss structure as Mega Man. And it made me kind of think about going back and giving Mega Man a proper go at some point. Because my point of reference for Shovel Knight was like, hey, this is a platformer and the controls feel about as good as Super Mario World, so I'm kind of on board already. And then it's got the pogoing mechanic from DuckTales combined with the sort of boss rushing type stuff from Mega Man. And yeah, it's just a really cool, polished, and well-designed game.
Is that on PC? I'm just checking out a quick video of it now.
It's on PC, it's on Wii U, it's on 3DS. I believe it's coming to PlayStation soon, and they're going to add Kratos as a boss. because that's a stupid thing.
Why sure, would you not do sweet. That? Yeah.
That'd be interesting, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, it's on PC is the way I played it, and it was. It
yeah, I
runs
get it
really
PC.
Well.
Yeah, I play most. Yeah. I play most stuff on PC now, anyway.
Yeah, same.
Do trying to look up quickly to see if it's PC and Mac and whatever, but I'm only seeing PC.
Yeah, I don't think it has other stuff. I mean, it was a game that was kickstarted. They've been slowly adding in more and more stuff, like the other platform stuff. Like, it came out on Wii U and 3DS in America straight away, I think. But it took a long time to come out in Europe and other regions because of localization and stuff.
No, it's saying Mac OS X, Windows, or using the Steam OS and Linux.
Really?
Yeah, so apparently they did their homework.
Wow, that's impressive. The developers are really cool. The Yacht Club Games, I believe they're called. And they're really active on Twitter, and they've even gone to the lengths of they are thinking about patching the game to make... So on the overworld map, there are random enemies that move around. And if you're doing a speed run, like, because they move randomly, you can kind of crash into one. And then you either have to quit back to the main menu and log back in to make the enemy move out your way, or fight the boss. It's basically a mini boss that you have to fight. And because that can really mess up a speed run, they've been talking about having it so that they were going to patch the game to make the RNG encounters like less... affect the speedrun less but still be usable if you like want to play the game normally, which is really cool, the fact that they go to that length just to kind of appease like a small subsection of the people that are fans of their game.
Nice. Yeah, like, it's those guys seem to have a really good appreciation for attention to detail and like the way they design the game. I think that they won an award at the Game Awards.
I think they won. Was it best indie game or best mobile game? Like platform, like handheld game. I can't remember.
Don't know what it was, but yeah, I'm aware they won an award and were on stage and gave an awesome speech.
Yeah, yeah, they're really cool guys, and I think that the ending sequence from Shovel Knight is probably my gaming moment of the year. There's just a sequence where it plays all of the boss theme tunes back to back as a sort of medley of all of the boss songs, and they all flow together so well, and it's just a really sort of emphatic moment in the game.
Nice. Yeah, I'm really going to check that game out. I think now we'll jump over to Joe to give a couple of his games, and then we'll go back and forth.
Yeah, sounds good.
Sweet. Joe, what's one of your highlights for this year?
I don't have many. I'll come right out and say that. That's mainly because I haven't played a great deal, but I'll talk about one good and one bad. One of my early highlights as well was from early on in the year, and that was the new Wolfenstein.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if either of you guys played that.
I didn't, but I've heard a lot of good things about it.
It is extremely good. It is extremely good. There's not a huge amount to spoil with regards to the story, but the story is definitely surprising. Like, it's very, very well done, and not something that you would necessarily expect from a Wolfenstein game. You can kind of take that as you will, but but they don't kind of sacrifice any of the Wolfenstein-ness of Wolfenstein to make it a good story. The gameplay is still very much kind of rooted in, you know, quote-unquote old-school shooters. You know, there's no recharging health, there's health packs, there's armor pickups, you can hold every single weapon at once, you can dual-wield, you know, gigantic machine guns with rocket launchers on them, which is amazing. you know, it's very much kind of... Defiant, I think, is the wrong word. I've heard that kind of thrown around for it. It just knows how to do it in a modern setting. Like, it's not as difficult as you would expect kind of a Wolfenstein game to be, in my opinion. I played through it right off the bat on, like, whatever the hardest mode is, because I think you have to unlock the Nightmare mode. And I went through it on the one below that straight away. And there was a couple of bits that were kind of... that were very tricky to get past, like, in the old-school shooter sense of, okay, I need to do kind of two or three things perfectly and then I can actually beat this part of the game. But other than that, like, there wasn't really anything like that. So I think that's something that they have kind of learned about, because some of the, especially the older games, it was a tad ridiculous at, like, how ineffective you were on the harder modes. So it was nice to see them kind of adjust that a little bit.
Was it something where they just ratcheted up, like, how fragile you are on the harder difficulties, or was it they didn't just make everybody a bullet sponge, right?
Oh, no, you can still take out dudes pretty damn quick. The main thing, I didn't play it on the lower difficulty, so I haven't really got a frame of reference, but there wasn't kind of, you know, that kind of typical shooter enemy behavior where, you know, a group of guys will just come out in an encounter and they'll just stand behind a piece of cover and just pop out and wait for you to shoot them in the face. They don't do that, which is a really nice change. Like, they're actually pretty smart in how they try and kind of overwhelm you. They don't just, you know, stand there and let them shoot you. They still do a pretty hefty amount of damage, but then again, so do you. You know, it's not like, it's not something like Gears of War on Insane, where Gears of War, like, every single enemy takes almost like an entire magazine of bullets to kill, whereas, you know, you die in like three hits. It's, you know, the damage tables are far more even in Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
The enemies are just smarter, which is, you know, I think always a better way to do it.
I agree. Like, it's going back to my favorite AI design is the Combine in Half-Life, just because they will, like, throw grenades at you, they'll try and flank you, they don't just stay, like, they sometimes stay in a corner, but for the most part, they're pretty mobile, and that's a good game design enemy, I believe.
Yeah, they also really vary up the enemies as well. There's some really good enemy designs in it, like, both aesthetically and kind of mechanically, how they come after you. Like, the heavies, like, kind of the heavy armored guys, like, they are absolutely ridiculous. They are the one enemy that you really, like, as soon as you see them, you have to take them down. Like, they have essentially this, like, the rebound gun from Unreal Tournament. I can't remember the name of it. The flat cannon, I think it's called. they pretty much dual wield that, and if you see them, like, if you see them and you're not attacking them, you're already dead. Like, they are absolutely insane how fast they kill you. But again, sorry, go on.
I was gonna say, what were your thoughts on the commanders?
They're okay, I guess.
Just like the idea that, like, you know, it's, you want to stealth kill them or else more guys will show up. Like, did you ever try doing that on 100?
I did a couple of times, but honestly, like, the core shooting in it is so much fun. It was kind of fun every now and then just kind of walk up to one and blow his head off and let everybody attack you, because, you know, the gameplay is super fun. But yeah, stealth killing them was a pretty interesting mechanic in the game. But the core shooting was really, really fun. It wasn't, I don't want to use Call of Duty as a kind of a bashing example, but what I was saying about before, how, like, on the higher modes in Call of Duty, you know, the enemies do a ton of damage and they just wait for you to shoot them. Like, they will just stay in the same spot, you know, peek out, shoot you, peek out, shoot you. It's a very different approach than that, and that's one of the main reasons why I didn't enjoy it so much. It felt very refreshing, but at the same time, you know, it felt like it retained enough of kind of old school, you know, shootery stuff to keep it interesting. And yeah, the other thing I do want to talk about a little bit is the story. It's not, you know, it's not Oscar worthy or anything like that. It's just super well done. I think it says a lot for, you know, you don't have to try anything like, you know, super, super over the top or like super off the wall to have a good story. Like, as long as you can have a straightforward story, but just tell it really, really well. And that's really what Wolfenstein does. Like, it has some really, really good characters. They do get a lot of mileage out of the, you know, like, Nazi-controlled world. Like, the design of it is really, really good. Like, aesthetically especially. Like, the everything just looks awesome. Even though I did actually play it on 360, which, when it came to kind of background stuff, I could definitely tell, like, you know, I was playing the 360 version. But it still looked and played really, really good. So, that was enough for me. I would like to see it on the new systems or a PC just to see, you know, what the difference is, but it still played really well.
A tangentially related question, Joe, have you actually upgraded to next gen this year?
Consoles, no. PC, I kind of feel like I already had it. One thing I have to, like, I did upgrade my PC this year. I swapped to an SSD, which is just like the best decision of my life. I popped in a second video card. One of the things when putting my PC together originally, why I chose the 660 Ti was because it scales very, very well. And it really does. Like, it's unbelievable how well those cards scale. Metro Last Light was a pretty good example. Pretty much doubled the frame rate, like, adding in the second card.
Yeah, that's a good return on SLI, because usually you don't see that kind of gains.
Yeah, it depends on the card. Like, I've definitely become more kind of PC orientated now, even though I still have like my 360 and PS3 set up. My PS3 is, you know, a Resogun machine and my Blu-ray player. My 360 is how I play Ninja Gaiden Black. Like, I don't actually play any current games on my 360.
Yeah.
But you know me, and I play Injustice on it as well. I think, not to tangent, but like just wrapping that up, like, one of the main things that makes me not want to get a new console, ironically enough, is the SSD upgrade. The thought of going back to like a 5400 RPM hard drive makes me very
sad. You could buy a PS4 and put a hybrid drive in it.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I think you could put actually just a straight SSD in it, to be honest.
I think I would. One thing, like this year especially, like, SSDs have gotten so cheap.
Yeah, they're like, stupid cheap now.
They are really cheap. Even, I think if you were going to go like with an SSD for the PS4, which I definitely would, the only thing with that is, you know, it puts on like an extra, you know, 170 to 200 quid on top of a system that's already
$350. Yeah, that's if you wanted to get like half a terabyte or something, or stretch to a terabyte, if you were being crazy, then it would almost double the price of the console.
Yeah, and I'm still going to wait for the new systems until... Until this, I mean, I do want to get the new Mortal Kombat, but like, that's about it, and that's coming out on PC, so I'll probably stay on PC.
On the subject of consoles, I know like Ballard is more like I don't think he would have this set up at uni, and I'm not sure what you're doing, Joe. But like, have you ever like played around with the Steam in-home streaming?
No, my setup's not really.
It's like not quite Steam Box yet. That's not a tangible thing. But I've like, as far as I know, I'm the only person in my circle of gamers that like plays in the other room on a crappy laptop that just streams it out there. And just that idea of console gaming, but using a PC. I was curious.
I don't know anything about that, to be honest. I haven't heard of it or messed with it yet.
Okay. Well,
yeah, me neither. It sounds really cool, but like, my setup at the moment is I now have everything running through like my capture box, so I've got everything just hooked up to one monitor, which is like super compact. So if I ever needed it would be cool, but yeah, I haven't messed with that at all.
I think a lot of the games I play on PC lend towards me sitting with my face against the monitor, because like playing a real-time strategy game or like a, you know, that kind of thing on a controller doesn't necessarily work.
Do you think, like, can you imagine a future where you would be doing that when the Steam controller comes out, like with those trackpads?
I haven't used one of them yet, but I...
Like, neither have I. This is all just, like, you know, subjective.
I could see myself playing something like Civ or Endless Legend, for example, with that kind of controller, but not much else, to be honest, if I had to be brutally honest.
Anything that required like kind of super precise movement or input, I think anything like that is like the physical button is always going to be better.
Yeah, like any kind of simulator games or real-time strategy games, I don't think it would work for me. Like, I'm not saying it's impossible to play it with one. I haven't used one. I don't have that kind of foresight. But yeah, just a guess.
That's fair. I was just like, it's interesting that Valve thinks they can make it work, and so I'm like, I'll be curious to get one of those controllers when they are available. But yeah,
Do you think they'll ever come out? Because Steambox and that controller I haven't heard of them since the beginning of this year.
Steam or Valve, I guess, said that there would be a lot more Steambox like show at the next CES. Yeah, Consumer Electronics Show.
In January, right?
Yes, that is coming up. And the Steam troll, like the Steam controller. I can't say Steam troller. That sounds weird.
Steam troller.
Steam troller. I like that.
that has had some developments. Like it's been updated, and I think like the left trackpad is now more reminiscent of a D-pad. Like it's
right.
It's had some changes, but so they have been working on it. If it ever comes out, I don't know, because I think Valve has a good history of whatever they were like. They don't scrap too many things as far as I can remember. I mean, like Blizzard will do stuff like that. We're like, oh, we've announced like something, been working on it, and then just poof, it's gone. But yeah, I think Valve is going to keep working on it until it comes out in some form or other.
I'd give it a go. I'm always very skeptical over like controllers is something that I put a lot of emphasis on. Like I really do like a good controller. That's funnily enough, another reason that puts me off the Xbox One, the D-pad is still the same, and it's, you know, converters are going to be a long way off for that. It's a big deal, I think. And I'd be interested to see how it turns out, but I just don't know about trackpads.
Yeah.
I don't know about trackpads. Like the only other frame of reference I can think of is like a mouse and then like the shitty like trackpads you get on a laptop.
Yeah, apparently it's not like that.
I think it's more the laptop one. Yeah. I just linked something in the Skype call so you guys can see it, but it's great for audio.
No one who's listening will have any idea. Oh yeah, cool.
What else? I cringe to say this, but what didn't you like about this year, Joe? One thing you liked, one thing you didn't.
I was going to say Destiny, but in the kind of horriblest way, like it's not really worth talking about. Like this.
That's exactly what I was just about to say.
Destiny isn't
worth talking about.
No, like I got it. Like I was never really that bothered by it. Where I was working at the time, a couple of people were like, you know, super hyped up about it. You know, Destiny, like every single day. And nothing from like the pre-release stuff really kind of got me that hyped about it. I was like, it looks okay, I guess. Like, you know, I am a pretty big Halo fan, so I'll give Bungie the benefit of the doubt, which they have now, you know, crucified. And they that's gone. They no longer have that. I want to talk about something different from Destiny.
Do you guys remember a time, if we're going to go into old man stuff we didn't like about this year, I want to get into, do you remember a time when Bungie made games like Oni and Myth and Marathon?
I do. Pre-Halo Bungie.
Yeah, they used to be a Mac company, an Apple company. Those were the days.
I remember playing Oni, actually. I wasn't really the biggest fan of Oni. Halo definitely bought Bungie kind of a lot of credit for me. And they flushed it all down the toilet with Destiny.
I want to know what the world would have been like if Halo had come out and had been an RTS like they originally intended.
It would have been the Brutal Legends of RTSs.
Brutal Legend was okay.
Yeah.
I didn't mind Brutal
Legends. That wasn't a bash.
No, I mean, it was a fairly decent, like the RTS stuff of it on, like wise on a console, I thought was handled quite well.
I've been trying to find a copy of Oni that I can play nowadays, because I remember that the sniper in that game was like a really good way of doing third person sniping, but I forget, like, it's, I'm not sure if my memory is clouded.
I don't remember too much about Oni, to be honest. It was a long time ago I played it.
I'm going to stand by saying it was a quality product.
What was I going to talk about? I'm just looking at my list here. Oh, yeah, I know what I can talk about. Evil Within. That game's garbage. let's talk about
Is that
about
the one
Evil
that
Within.
Runs in Letterbox?
That's the one that, like the really, really, really bizarre camera choices, which aren't high on my list of my problems with it, actually. I don't think anything like that, I feel like you can, unless it's a hindrance to the point where you literally cannot play the game, I think you just, there's an adjustment period. It's like, oh, okay, I need to, you know, I'm used to third-person shooters giving me this kind of view, and I think a lot of it was a knee-jerk reaction of, oh, that's taken away from me, this game is terrible, kind of thing. I had a similar view of that, like, when Resident Evil 5 came out, and people kind of, oh, you can't move and shoot, and it's like, yeah, but you don't need to in this game. It's more offensive in the Evil Within, I'll agree, like, especially with certain weapons. When you aim the crossbow, like, literally 50% of, like, where you're aiming is the crossbow and not what you're actually trying to shoot. So that's a problem. But yeah, that game's just not fun. Like, it really annoyed me when I was playing that game. I think I'm around 5 chapters in. I don't think I'll beat it. And to me, it's just Resident Evil 4 without the fun. It was kind of a letdown, because it was, you know, Shinji Mikami's return to, you know, quote unquote survival horror. And within the first 45 minutes, you fight a chainsaw wielding maniac in a village. It's like, really? Come on, dude.
The biggest thing the game suffers from, and it might just be like society trying to put labels on stuff and art and all that, but I don't think that game knows what it is, or at least there's just so many people who put like their stuff into it with different opinions of what the game should be. The opening seems more like just a crazy action-y sequence, and then just like there are parts of that game I think you'd agree that are good, but like on the whole,
it's not entirely terrible.
Yeah.
I think that's a very fair criticism, actually. That's one of the main reasons why I find it very hard to become immersed in it. This is something that I was thinking about as well, kind of coming to the end of the year with this game being, you know, the return to quote-unquote classic survival horror. And that, you know, survival horror in that essence just doesn't exist anymore, because it was a product of hardware at the time when that was considered a genre. Whereas to get immersed in that, like when The Evil Within starts, it starts off as like a regular game, quote unquote. You know, there's no kind of, you know, zombies or T-virus or any madness going on. And then after, minor spoilers, but like after the initial segment in the hospital, when you kind of fade to black and wake up, you don't really know if it's real. That was my biggest disconnect with it. I was like, well, is this real? Like, is this, you know, what is actually going on here? And there was a pretty big disconnect with how they try and make it somewhat realistic, you know, the aforementioned chainsaw wielding maniac. Very early on, like, he attacks you as part of like a cutscene that you can't actually get out of, and you have this cut on your leg, and for the next segment of the game, like, you're limping and you can't actually move, whereas directly after that, like, you're fine, you can run. It's like, well, you know, and the cut on his leg is gone. It's like, well, you know, it really threw me off in terms of becoming immersed in it, because the atmosphere is really good, and the direction and like the art is amazing. Like, it's really spooky and well presented, but there's always that disconnect there for me. I'm thinking in the back of my head, well, is this actually happening? Like, what is going on? Where am I? Like, the game gives you virtually no context for, you know, the horror elements that are taking place. And I think, in my opinion, that's the biggest disappointment in the game, because that is what makes something scary. Like, you have to have context. If you, like, the original Resident Evils, for me at least, were spooky because they set up pretty early on, like, what was happening. Crazy monsters, you know, bioengineered, you know, gone wrong. Like, fair enough. I can buy that. That's straightforward. Something like Dead Space, crazy aliens. Okay, great. I can buy that. The Evil Within, I don't know what's happening. Like, and that could be addressed later in the game. I hope it is, but I just don't know if I can put in the time to get to that point. So that's kind of why it is a pretty big letdown for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I agree with you.
Yeah, and above all else as well, the gameplay is not great. I really do champion mechanics over anything, and the gameplay is not that good.
I guess going back to what I said previously, it was just like, what are your options to play in the game? Because it changes whatever the scene, like whatever the story beat they want to tell you is. It's like sometimes all you can do is just move around and run. Sometimes you can do a crafting thing.
Yeah, the crafting things are weird. Yeah, weird. Like, and you can stealth kill enemies. Like, and again, it's not an issue, but it's something that is kind of funny. Like, you have an enemy that has this giant rebar going through his skull, and yet you stealth kill him by stabbing him in the head. And it's like,
consistent.
You know,
just chalk into video games.
Yeah, it's video games, but it's just so funny. It's like, cranial injuries don't seem to bother this guy much, but this killed him. Okay. Like,
injuries are better than one, though.
That's true, actually. Like, one, he's okay with. Two, nah, he's done. Yeah. Like,
there's enemies that need two headshots instead of one in FPS games.
Baller, what else have you enjoyed this year?
Nothing. No, I'm joking.
Oh, okay.
I think I should talk about my token puzzle game of the year. Which has become a thing for me kind of since Braid came out, I think. Because, like, before that, I didn't really consider, like, puzzle platformers, like, that sort of interesting. But since then, so Braid came out, and I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Then Fez, shortly afterwards, what was that, like, 2-3 years afterwards, was my game of the year for that year. And then Antichamber was my game of the year after that. And this year, started off pretty strongly with Fracked OSC. I don't know if any of you guys remember seeing that on the site or if you played it at all.
I think I played it at PAX one year because, like, I have one of their cards.
Right.
Which means, like, I saw the game, I was interested enough in it, I took one, like, took it to remember, and then completely forgot about it.
That's a shame. That game is basically music synthesizer, the puzzle game. Which doesn't make much sense until you play it. Like, you literally, all of the puzzles are basically in the format of, here's a sequencer, put dots on this sequencer to play tones that make the world change, and then the world changes, and then you can advance to the next puzzle. And then the cool thing is, like, once you beat the game, at the end there's like a sort of super puzzle where you have to go around the whole world and piece together bits from the open world to work out how to access, like, this central node where the final biggest, like, puzzle of the game is. And it's all, like, there's three different paths where there's, like, each one part represents bass, one part represents, like, the main melody, another part represents, I don't know, some other kind of synth. And you sort of are collecting different, not instruments, but modifiers for the synth sounds, which you can then go and then take into an actual sequencer which the game has and make your own music if you so want. And that, I think, was my sort of token puzzle game of the year that I enjoyed. It wasn't on the level of, like, Antichamber and Fez. Like, it wasn't mind-blowing and my game of the year this time, unfortunately. But one thing I really do want to play, moving sort of slightly off to another game, is the Talos Principle, which came out, I think it was this month. I don't know if you guys have seen any of that.
I've not seen it, but I've heard a lot about it. I've seen, like, trailers and whatnot.
Yeah, that looks really cool, and I'm really interested to find out what the hell it's about. All of the people I follow on Twitter, like, the guy who made Antichamber, I follow him on Twitter. I think even Jonathan Blow talked about it at one point on Twitter. All those people have said it's really good. So, last time that happened, it was with Starseed Pilgrim, which I didn't understand at all and didn't enjoy at all. But Talos Principle looks right up my street. It's a sort of, you know, you walk around, you have things that you can interact with, and you solve simple puzzles. But there's, like, something else going on, as far as I can tell. You see, like, ghosts of other people walking around in the world, kind of like Dark Souls style. You know, when you see, like, the phantoms of other people, what they did.
I'm not sure if I'd say it works on multiple levels, or if just, like, that it intends you to find this second level of the game, like this hidden underside of it. But it seems to be really well designed and inspired just by like it. Okay, throwing out an example, the various mini puzzles you do will reward you with a like thing to to move on to the next world, so to speak, in video game terms. So like, you know, world one, world two, world three. Yeah. Those little items that you get for doing each thing effectively are Tetris pieces.
Yes, yeah, they are. They look like Tetris pieces anyway.
And so like that is like a great throwback to like the actual person playing the game. So and like they have QR codes, but you don't actually need a phone that has QR scanners. It's like, because for reasons that will be explained in the game, it does that for you. But it's just neat that they're pulling all these things from actual like from human life, like history in video gaming, to make this game. And so I think that is I think that's really neat and worth people's time and interest, as well as just a neat puzzle game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if I'd had the chance to play the Talos Principle already, it would probably have made my top five games of the year. Probably would have knocked Valiant Hearts off the bottom, which, as much as I enjoyed, for being a cutesy little, you know, different kind of game, I think Talos Principle might have made it on there this year. But yeah, those are the two I wanted to talk about next.
Joe, do you want to do one game that you like, then we'll go to a quick break?
Yeah, sure. I'm talk about one that I did actually forget that came out this year because it was super early, but Ollie Ollie on the Vita. That is what I was going to say. That's the most fun I've had in a skateboarding game in a while, but considering the skateboarding game market, that's not much of a compliment. And that game deserves better than that. But it's not necessarily a skateboarding game as in the vein of something like Skate or Tony Hawk. It's more just like a 2D platformer with a, you know, skateboarding twist on it kind of thing. That's how I'd more view that. And I think Conrad has played that. Have you played it at all, Brad? Have you got a Vita or have you still sticking with 3DS?
Nope, still got my 3DS though, waiting for Monster Hunter again next year.
Yeah. Fair enough. But if you ever get a Vita, I'd highly recommend Ollie Ollie. If anybody hasn't played it, it is based around kind of the, you know, your core ideas of skateboarding, hence the name Ollie Ollie. But the levels are set up in kind of one line, which is what you have to do them in. And that was one of my personal favorite parts about kind of the Tony Hawk series, was finding, you know, the lines in the levels that they had laid out. Whereas in Ollie Ollie, every single kind of level is just one of these lines that you have to fulfill certain requirements on. Some of them may just be simple scoring, like, you know, score X amount of points, or they may have like a specific trick that you have to do or sequence of tricks, and you can do them while you're doing the line of the level. The main thing about the game kind of competitively is the scoring aspect, and that revolves around the perfect quote-unquote mechanics. That's your perfect lands and perfect grinds, and that's where you're going to score, you know, the big points. That's the huge difference between scoring okay and like actually getting on the leaderboards. But yeah, apart from that, there's not too much else to say about it. It's just a super, super well-made game. Super responsive controls, really tight mechanics. And, you know, if you have been kind of looking for, not necessarily a skateboarding game, but, you know, something with that kind of vibe on it, then I couldn't recommend that game enough. It really is one of the best Vita games I've played ever. It really is amazing.
I guess one quick add-on to that, just anybody listening interested. Well, it did initially come out on Vita. It's out on, like, I think it's out on Windows, OS and Linux, and PlayStation 3 and 4. And it will be coming out to Xbox One, Wii U, and 3DS, like, early 2015.
So, oh, really?
Yes.
That's great.
They're doing the thing of, like, the indie thing of trying to be on every platform possible to use the biggest consumer base.
I'll probably buy it again on PC, like that. That's the again the downside of it being on the Vita. You know, you play it on the move probably. So yeah.
Well, if you want to buy it on PC, you can get it right now.
It's on PC.
Yeah, July 22nd.
Probably I never looked for it on PC, but yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
that's great then. Yeah, that's awesome.
You're too busy playing it on the Vita already.
Yeah, I was far too busy playing it.
Published by Devolver Digital, who I think are a great publisher for indie games.
Oh yeah, Ollie Ollie. I also really like the name.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. Just, I really love the name, Ollie Ollie. It's cool.
It's really good. All right. Well, we will take a quick break and be right back with Editing Magic. All right. wait, write down what time it is. I figured we've been going for about an hour or so. We can, you know, do a quick stretch.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And we're about halfway in the stuff, right?
Yeah, there's not much left to
game. Yeah, I can skip over most of my stuff. I just...
Well, no, like you said, there were a couple that you didn't want to talk too much about. So you've done...
Oh, yeah.
There's probably only one game left, actually, that I actually want to talk about. That's Geometry Wars. The other two, not really that bothered.
I'm curious about Endless Legend because Shinboy told me I should buy it too, but I'm not big on, like... I look at it and it's like, oh, it's a Civilization and I don't care.
It's Civilization. If you don't like Civ, don't get it. If you like Civ, get it. That's pretty much my yes-no review on Endless Legend. Basically, thought at any point about buying, what's it called? Civ Beyond Galaxy, that basically the reskin that they released this year. If you thought at any point about buying that, you should have bought Endless Legend instead.
Hey, Brad, I don't like Civ.
Then you should buy Dungeon of the Endless.
Oh, okay. I will look that up instead. All right, give me a sec to use the bathroom real fast, and then we'll go again. Yes.
Cool. God, Brad, have you checked out, like, Tested recently?
No.
That has...
Oh, yes, I have, actually.
Downhill.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this before. It's like, still I think, going off the cliff.
Yeah, like, how are they... I don't get it. Like, I think, like, their focus has really kind of just gone completely. It's...
Yeah, not to mention Will is really grating at this point.
Yeah, he is kind of annoying, isn't he? I don't know what it is. He just is kind of annoying.
It's very impressive how he manages to be that annoying.
Yeah, but like not... I don't know. I think it's just really weird. It's a really weird... I virtually never go on the website anymore, but like every now and then like one of their YouTube videos gets like, you know, in my recommended list because I watch like tech stuff. And I have a look at it. And I saw one of their recent PC build guides. Mm-hmm. And it's like the worst PC build guide ever. they're almost 2 hours long for a start. Like they're super, super long.
Yeah,
and it's just there's too many people at it. It's I don't know. I just wondered if you kept up with it at all because I think Screened's dead now, isn't it? Officially, Screened is completely.
I believe
gone.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, which sucks. And then Tested is like should be in all seriousness. there's far better like tech channels out there. If that's your bag.
Yeah. I'm currently looking at Nissan Cubes because why wouldn't you? Because they're hilarious, that's why.
My little sister got a Honda Element, I think. And I basically call it a Boxer Monstrosity. Which is the joke name we had for, I think, one of the cars in GTA 3. Like the SUV, I think.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Like on the radio, don't they call them Boxer Monstrosities?
Yeah. Oh, what are they? What are they called in the game? I can't remember. Like the
actual name for the
yeah, the actual name of the car. Is it...
I'm through the internet looking at the Grand Theft Auto speedrunner specialist. Ballard.
Yo, me? What about
damn,
me?
Damn, that's annoying me.
Oh right, I see what you do. Which game are we talking about? Yeah, which GTA?
We think it's 3.
The beach buggy kind of vehicle. What are they called?
Infernus?
That's in Vice City, yeah. No, not Vice.
Oh, no, they're in 3 as well. They're just.
Oh, sorry,
super,
BF
super
Injection
rare.
Is what I meant.
That's
sorry.
It. BF Injection, yeah, that's it.
That's in Vice City. I can't remember if they're in 3 or not. I don't think
they are in 3, but they are by far the rarest car in 3. There is one point in the game where you can get one, like, guaranteed all the time, but other than that, like, they are ridiculously rare.
Yeah.
I had a black one in one of my save games. Just like took me more time than I'd like to admit to find. Have you done another Vice City speedrun, Brad? Have you, like, climbed the leaderboards?
No, I'm dropping like a stone. The route changed a whole bunch, and I sort of fell off a little bit from it. I wasn't a fan of the new changes to the route. I didn't really want to learn it, and I've been really busy with uni work this year. I haven't had much time. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about learning Oblivion. Like, I've learned most of the speedrun route for it. I just need to start doing some practice now to actually get good at it.
All right. You want to go back with Joe? We want to go back with Joe just crapping on another game this year.
There's not really much. There's only like a couple of other games I've played and I enjoyed them. So it's I'll just talk about Geometry Wars 3. That'll be my last game. So if there's anything you want to talk about, Brad, before that.
Yeah, sure. I'll put in a couple of things before we talk about Geometry Wars.
Yeah, we'll swing back to
Brad. Have you guys played Geometry Wars?
No. I don't have an X-Bone.
I'm not going to mention Jazz Punk, so we can strike that out. I'll save the looking forward to till we're done with Geometry Wars.
Yeah.
Therb, you mentioned Divinity briefly. Would you like me to mention my opinions of that?
If you like. Yeah, I mean, like, it's if you enjoyed it, go ahead. Because, like, I think Shinboy is going to talk about it during his... like his game of the year, the next episode. So, like, feel free to put your opinions in as well.
What about Endless Legend? Because I kind of just summed up my entire opinion of Endless Legend.
I mean, like, that could be something quickly that you go over. That's up to you.
Okay, sure. Okay. Do you want to bring us back and then we can carry on?
Yeah, sure. If both of y'all are ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Come back in 5, 4, 3. And we're back. Taking us back is going to be Brad with a couple of the games he's been happy to play this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's only one real game that I played a whole lot of earlier on in the year. The other two I've got written down here that sort of make my top 5/6 are games that I've literally only started playing in earnest this month, to be honest. But a game that I did put 20 to 30 hours in earlier in the year was Divinity Original Sin, which that game's pretty cool. Like,
okay, you said 20 hours?
I believe so. Hold on. I need to fact check. Okay,
there is a gameplay point of which, like, I don't know when it happens, but I want to know if you've come to it yet. Have you gotten to the point where you just have straight up conversations with the animals?
So that depends on a skill that you take.
I assume everyone in the game, like everyone playing, is going to pick that skill, because why wouldn't
you? I believe I ended up taking that skill. Okay. I think so. I was playing it co-op with my cousin, and he by default already had that skill, and then I didn't know, so I took that skill as well. And like the whole thing about the game is you only get like 4 characters in your party, and you kind of need to min-max every single character, because it's an old school RPG. Like, if you do stuff wrong, if you build your character the wrong way, you like almost actually won't be able to beat the game at a certain point. It's pretty intense. And so me taking that skill was a huge mistake, because it was basically a waste of a level up for that character. But it's cool because, yeah, I can talk to cats and dogs and sheep and pretty much any random bit of wildlife you happen to stumble across in the
and,
world.
Like, and the thing is, they respond to you when having usually an intellectual conversation.
Yes. There's also a dude who's actually a dude but turns himself into a cat. But he's actually a dude.
Oh, jeez. I need to play this game because it's like... The way we start talking about this, it sounds like a silly game. It is not a silly game.
It takes itself very seriously. there's humor. There's a lot of humor in the writing and the sort of quest design. And it's kind of weird. Like, the whole time I spent playing that game was sort of the initial... So there's sort of a map, if you want. You go visit a village called Sycial, I believe it's called. And then you kind of talk to the people there, and there's an Imperial Guard people there who are being attacked by goblins all the time. And they send you off to go do missions to find basically where all their patrols have gone, because they sent out a bunch of patrols. And that's kind of what the early game is. You're kind of working out what the hell's going on in this little town. And I got as far as, when I was playing with my cousin, as finding the next sort of map. Like, at a certain point, you find a door, and it takes you to a different region. It was like a jungly region or something. And we got there, realized we were heavily underleveled, and still had still had loads and loads of quests. Like, the number of quests in that game is outstanding. Like, you will very unlikely be able to run out of stuff to do in that game. And so we went back and carried on doing old quests. But yeah, I spent like 20 hours basically in the same area of that one part of the game, and didn't really feel like I was anywhere near done with what it presented. I think the combat's really good. It's sort of Dungeons and Dragons style, turn-based, a lot of dice roll-y type stuff. You've got, like, you know, percentage chance to hit, you've got status effects, and the way you're most effective in that combat is definitely by using the environment. So if there's like an explosive barrel and some oil, like, you can cast spells that like put more oil down, and then you can like line it up so when the explosive barrel goes off, it sets fire to all the oil and all the guys catch on fire. But when you make fire, there'll be smoke that will come up, and then your archers won't be able to shoot through the smoke because they can't see their targets anymore. It's really tactical. Lots of stuff can go wrong, which is kind of funny. And yeah, I definitely recommend it if you like RPGs. It's really good co-op as well. It's probably best co-op, I'd say, to keep you sort of interested in what's going on. Another thing is when you're playing co-op, you can split up. So one of you can go talk to one person handing a quest over here, another one can go, you know, start something else over there, which is cool too.
That sounds like something that I don't know what the official term of it is. I only know there's something called trophic cascade, which has to do with nature and just like the effects of, like, if one creature does something, it like snowballs down to like a dozen other creatures that it, like, wolves are helping out beavers, and like you wouldn't actually expect that, but that is what happens when games do that. So like, I got really excited for the game when you said the smoke from the fire obscures the archer's vision. It's like, oh, yeah. this is a game that's for me. Oh.
Yeah. It's really deep. Like, you can literally spend like several, like 5 minutes setting up an encounter before you engage it. Because basically the game goes from like you wandering around, and then when you get an encounter, everyone sort of goes into combat phase and things start costing action points and stuff. But if you're careful about not getting within the vision range of your enemies, you can sort of set up the environment so you can be like laying down spells, laying down, you know, tar or ice, for example. You could make it rain, then freeze the ground so that when the enemies try and run towards you, they're going to slip over when the battle starts, and then they get like stunned for a couple of turns. So you can spend pretty much as long as you want setting up all kinds of crazy engagements and encounters to just sort of make your life a bit easier. And the game is tough. Like, if you don't do that stuff, you're going to get your party wiped pretty quickly. Pretty quickly.
Nice.
Yeah, all right, that's a cool game. That game's currently sitting third on my Game of the Year list, because I did quite enjoy it.
So, yes, what is sitting second?
Second was Fracked, actually. That was.
Okay, what is the next game on your list?
The next game on my list.
Did you start off? Yeah, you start off with your favorite. Okay,
yes.
Never mind.
Yeah, absolutely. The next game on my list in fourth place is Elite Dangerous, which I should again clarify, I did work for the company that made Elite Dangerous for a while, so take everything I say with a pinch of salt if you must.
But you did not actually work on Elite Dangerous.
No, exactly. I didn't make Elite Dangerous at all. So
Scream Coasters, I think.
Scream Ride.
Hot.
So close.
Almost.
That's basically the concept, though. You can pitch the concept. But yeah, Elite Dangerous. I dabbled with it back when I worked there, because they gave me a free access to the game. So I was like, oh, I'll check it out. It was cool. Still, as you know, work in progress. It's been going through beta, gamma, all of that nonsense up until release now. And at the beginning of this month, it came out for realsies. And since I've come home after doing my exams, I've been pretty much exclusively playing it. Like, I've just been spending hours just kind of listening to music or podcasts or whatever, and casually hauling cargo around the galaxy. And it's really fun. Like, it's kind of the perfect sort of podcast game, because you can kind of sort of just zone out flying, finding awesome trade routes to make loads of money, just sort of hauling cargo. Most recently, I unlocked a new ship. I got the Cobra Mark III. which is sort of the third ship that I've got in my sort of progress to getting better and better stuff. And now that I've done that, I've kind of been trying to kit it out as a combat ship and going into the whole hunting down pirates and, you know, killing other ships and potentially other players. I have been killed by another player once because I fucked up. I think that's probably, yeah, that's probably the funniest thing that's happened to me in the game. So basically what happened was you can get missions from bulletin boards in different outposts that are kind of just randomly generated missions. And one of them was to go hunt down some traitors. It was like, oh, we need you to cause unrest in this system because we want to try and cause like a political overthrow. And like, apparently this kind of stuff does actually, like, if you do these events, it does shift the power, the influence levels of all the political parties in each system. Like, people have gone as far as starting civil wars in some systems and then gone along, and you can see like these giant capital ships of like the Federation and the Empire in these huge, like, multi-ship battles, which I'd really love to go and see at some point. You're just gonna have to be in the right place at the right time. So I'm doing this mission where I have to go kill some traitors, and I'm flying around the solar system that I'm in, and I see an unidentified signal source, which is basically, it can be anything. It could be a pirate waiting to interdict you. It could be, you know, something. So I drop in, not sure whether the guy's a traitor or not. I'm not really sure how to tell. So I just like, I'll start shooting at him. Realized he wasn't when I got a bounty after shooting at him, which was unfortunate. And then once I'd already got a bounty, I was like, well, I'm not going to back down now, because if I run away now, I'm going to have this 400 credit bounty, going to have absolutely nothing to show for it. I'm going to kill this guy. Kill that guy, get a 10,000 credit bounty. Then realize I was in some serious shit, because that kind of marks me as like a huge target. And I end up flying off and trying to find, you know, some way to sort of recoup my losses at this point, and then get shot down by another player whilst fighting a bunch of pirates somewhere else.
Now, I assume, like, once you've been shot down by that, like, that second player, then, like, that's the bounty is ended? They've collected... Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Once you get shot down, you, they collect the money for murdering you, basically.
And all is forgiven.
Well, sort of. You also... So when you die, you can re... I don't know what the justification of it is. I assume you have clones or something, but you can rebuy your ship. You have ship insurance, so you only have to pay a fraction of the cost of the ship. So you rebuy your ship, and that will cost a certain amount of money. But also on top of that, you'll have to pay off any sort of fines you might have from the Federation police. So I kind of got shafted there as well. But yeah, Elite Dangerous is really cool. If you're one of the people that's been following Star Citizen or even No Man's Sky to an extent, Elite Dangerous has this huge procedurally generated galaxy, which is based on our galaxy. Like, you can go visit stuff. I've talked about this before, obviously, so I won't go on about it too much. But you can go visit Sol. You can visit our solar system. You can visit Earth. You can visit Barnard Star. You can visit, you know, all of the famous stars that you might have heard of in the near vicinity of Earth, and then the rest of the stuff they've just kind of extrapolated and procedurally generated what the whole galaxy might be like.
Yeah, I think a good way to say it is, like, it, Star Citizen, at least, like, to me, has the, like, appearance of pay big money to have, like, the most fun in the game. Like, I don't know if entry level, like, it's, plus the game's not even out yet. So, Elite Dangerous is something that's out now, and is a bit, like, fair model. And it just seems like a really giant open world that's fun. Whereas No Man's Sky is going to be, like, mostly single player for people, I think.
Yeah, it's a lot easier, I think, to... Like, it's still space. Like, the thing that I've realized playing Elite Dangerous is that trying to group up with someone when you're traveling, like, stupidly huge distances, and, like, you can be, oh, I'm 100 light years away from you, let's meet up. Oh no, it's going to take 2 hours for us to find each other. Like, that's kind of, like, a short distance apart as well. So, like, trying to group up and do stuff with people, and it's like, oh, your ship's traveling 300 times the speed of light. I've lost you. Where the hell did you go? Oh no, I can't see your ship anymore because it's pitch black everywhere. Like, trying to actually group up and do stuff with people in space is ridiculously hard. That's kind of the thing that's made me realize probably why No Man's Sky is, you know, why the, you know, why Sean is saying, you know, like, you're probably going to be on your own most of the time, because it's just easier that way to just kind of fly around solo. And I think No Man's Sky is also pitched looking more at the exploration side, which is definitely easier solo.
I think a good way to put it is, like, none of these three games are bad necessarily. It's just like you need to find the one that is most applicable to you. But yeah, I think there's a video that like is a pretty good sell of the game that I'll put in the show notes. But it's like Chris Thurston of PC Gamer who's doing the review for it. It's just like, I think it's titled "A Man in a Beard Awes at a Giant Ship." He's like, he just flies in and there's this giant capital ship that's having this fight, and he's just like, whoa, for like 2 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that's Elite Dangerous. Sweet.
That's some really pretty sights there, yeah. Yeah. For sure.
And like, do you have an Oculus Rift?
I have a DK1. It's not mine. It's my flatmate's.
Have you played it with an Oculus Rift? Because like, that's one of the games that it's like, they touted VR support, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that there is a way to get it working with a DK1. I wish I knew what it was. It works a lot easier with a DK2. So no, I haven't tried it yet, but one day in the near future, hopefully I am planning to get my hands on a DK2.
Because like it's just, even without the DK or the developer kit, it's just like the control panels are to your left and right. It's not like overlapping mm-hmm. stuff. You look over and there's docking and Yeah.
This game, almost more than any other, although that's kind of a lie, has made me want to get a track IR. At the very least, because, you kind of want to look around. Like, the windows of the canopy of most of the ships extend over your head, and you can sort of look up and just look around at the stars, and goddamn if the game isn't gorgeous.
I just realized, when I was playing Arma, the closest I got to buying just on the subject of, like, peripheral things, I was very close to getting pedals for directional flight. Control for flight control but I just realized that would be a horrible idea now that I switched to a standing desk.
I've been tempted to switch to a standing desk for quite a while. Is it good?
It's after the like 2 week hazing, it's pretty good. Okay. I find like I definitely enjoy like, I'm going to sit down on the couch and play something instead, and standing I much more like less playing games and more like focusing on stuff.
Yeah. So I used to play all console games standing because my TV is at head height. So that's kind of how I'm used to playing. I just might find that using the keyboard is a little bit awkward.
No, like I just raise the desk up enough so the keyboard is at a good level. It's a good way to make sure that there is a difference between games and work, so to speak, at home. But, Joe, tell me about another game that you've enjoyed this year. Perhaps that you've enjoyed the most this year.
I will do that, and that's an easy choice for me. That is Geometry Wars 3rd, otherwise known as Geometry Wars 3 Dimensions, which is a stupid, subtitle name, but whatever. Yeah, that game, that's my, like, by far best game of the year, and could very well end up being one of my favorite games ever.
Geometry Wars 1 and 2 and all the other side ones, what of those have you played, and how much?
I was pretty late to Geometry Wars. I didn't actually play the first one until the Breaking Brad for Geometry Wars went up on Giant Bomb, which is the, score a million points without dying.
Oh, jeez.
And that was what actually kind of... I hadn't really heard of them before that. I didn't really know what kind of game it was. And when I saw that video, I thought, that game seems cool. I'll give that a go. And then that kind of, happily ate the next month of my life, just playing that game. And then I played 2. I do like 2, but I must admit, the one thing that I really don't like about 2 is the visual changes. I think it's just a personal thing, but like, I find it really hard to see what's going on in Geometry Wars 2, whereas I don't think 1 has that problem. 1 and 3, I think, especially have a color clarity that 2 just does not have. In Geometry Wars 2, too many enemies look like other enemies to me. Like, the red guys, the snakes, and the orange ships are all the same shade of orange. And, when there's hardly any room left on the screen to see, That kind of gets on my nerves, but I still do really like 2. And I've put a huge amount of time into both of those games. So going into 3 was... When I heard 3 was announced, I was kind of over the moon, because I really didn't think a third one was ever going to come out. And when I saw kind of the reveal trailer that showed kind of what they were doing with it, I was pretty I was pretty happy about it straight away. One of the things I was kind of worried about was, since getting into kind of that genre of game, I'd played quite a few different ones, mainly Super Stardust on the PS3 and Vita as well, and Waves on Steam. I think Waves is only on PC, as far as I remember. But I was kind of worried that Geometry Wars would be, you know, kind of stubborn and wouldn't take anything from, you know, how that genre has evolved. And that's something that I think they've really done a good job of in 3. They have really taken note of the changes that genre has gone under. They do actually include Classic Mode, which is just Geometry, all the modes from Geometry Wars 2, but in the Geometry Wars 3 engine, which actually does make them a little bit different, because quite a few of the enemies have been noticeably buffed in Geometry Wars 3. They're a lot faster, and their hitboxes are bigger, so you kind of some of the strategies from the older games don't actually work in 3. So like all those modes are in there, but the kind of the big increase comes from the adventure mode, which is where I've been spending most of my time playing the game. That's where the drones are available to you. They're like little buddies that will help you in certain ways. They'll either, you know, attack, they'll shoot out extra bullets, they'll go around collecting geomes for you. There's a snipe one, which supposedly prioritizes like the most dangerous enemies and shoots them for you. Which is surprisingly good at doing that. It's just, it gets to a certain point where there's just too many enemies for it to be, you know, that useful. And the other big change comes in the super states that spawn on the screen. They'll just be like a little pattern of dots that you have to shoot, and they'll give you like a ridiculous buff to either attack or defense or geome collecting. Like the attack ones will give you kind of like a 5 block of bullets that come out of your ship, like just a ridiculous, like it's almost impossible to die when you have that gun, because like the destructive power it gives you is just absolutely ridiculous. And one of my biggest wishes was always to have the shield when you spawn in Geometry Wars. When you die, you get this like shield for about 2 seconds of like spawn protection. That's actually a super in 3, which I love. You just get a shield for about 15 seconds, and it's disturbingly fun to just do nothing and let everything come towards you and just explode when it touches you because you have a shield on. It just feels so good, because it's like, yeah, I'm untouchable. You can't touch me. Aside from that, there's not much else to say about the game. Like, if you don't like Geometry Wars and or dual joystick shooters, then, you know, you're probably not going to like it. But if you do like Geometry Wars, then as far as I'm concerned, like, this is the best game in the series. Like, this really is. If there was no more Geometry Wars games, I would be happy. Whereas after 2, I kind of wanted what Geometry Wars 3 gives me. You know, it gives me like the drones, the supers. It gives me more than just the basics. And that's really all I ever wanted from it. So a lot of that is kind of, you know, my personal wants, which is why I like it so much. Like, it really gave me everything I wanted. So in that regard, like, for me, it is the best. But I also do think it is mechanically the most complete of the 3 main entries in the series.
Nice. It's kind of cool to hear you say that, because I'm not someone who's super enthusiastic about Geometry Wars. I knew you were, and I knew a lot of people might. I was really interested to see what the, you know, what people actually thought of Geometry Wars 3, and it's cool to hear you really like it.
From what I've seen, it seems kind of it seems quite split. From I know, just going by the quick look, I don't think Brad was super, you know, super up on it, and I know he, you know, really liked 1 and 2. I don't really know why. I need to read his review, because maybe he explains it in there. But that's something that I find quite puzzling, to be honest. I think if you like Geometry Wars, but for whatever reason you don't like 3, I would be interested to know why, because it's at the core, it's the same game. There's nothing really that different about it. So, you know, if you don't like it, I would be interested, you know. Just out of curiosity, I would think, well, why not? It's like, you know, it's kind of like not liking Tekken at this point. It's like, well, Tekken hasn't really changed, neither is Geometry Wars, so why don't you like it? That kind of confuses me, I must admit. So I must read his review and see what he thinks about it. Because I was surprised that didn't get 5 stars. I thought that would be kind of a, you know, a lock for 5 stars from Brad. I personally don't think there's anything wrong with the game. It did have some launch BS on the PC, which was very, very saddening to me. It took me a system restore and like 2 hours to get that game to work, which was not cool. But even taking that into account, like, it's, I still love it. So, and if you get it on console, then you're probably not going to have those problems anyway.
Sweet, yeah. I mean, like, as of right now, it's only Xbox 360. Do you think it's going to be coming out? Like, do you think just like, you know, 2015, we'll see it at least on Xbone, if not also on
PC? It's on everything, as far as I know. I think it's on everything. I think PC got it a day early. I know it's on. I know it's on the new console. I don't actually know if it's on the old ones. I think it is, but I think it's on pretty much everything.
Yep, you're right. I was looking at the Wikipedia for 2014, and in the same month, they have multiple entries of, because it came out on different days. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's my bad.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I got the PC version because I was kind of worried that the PlayStation 3 and 360 version wouldn't look as good. I did recently pick up Resogun on PS3 because I don't have a PS4, but I have played that on PS4 quite a lot, and there's a pretty significant kind of graphics downgrade from the two versions. So that's the main reason I got Geometry Wars 3 on PC, and the launch issues were definitely, you know, a big deal. And as far as I know, they still haven't been addressed. So, and I don't think they are going to be, which really sucks. I'm stuck playing it in like 1680 by 1024 or something, because depending on like your graphics configuration, I can run it at full screen 1080p, but there's like ridiculous input lag, which, you know, renders that game unplayable. But again, on console, like, you're not going to have that issue. So,
looking at the actual wiki page for it, PS Vita early 2015, everything else.
Damn it.
Yeah,
oh, I'm gonna have to get that. I've been wanting a Geometry Wars game on Vita like forever. Brad can probably attest to that. Like,
there you go.
Yeah,
I think that's actually a fact.
Yeah, I would definitely be buying that on Vita. Like,
since the beginning
of
time.
Yeah, I really do. The I've only got probably half a dozen games on it that I play over and over, but God, I love the Vita. There's some really good games on that thing.
All right, very cool. Glad that there's been some stuff to be enjoyable about 2014. A lot of people seem down about it, but I think there is good stuff to look forward to. Brad, I think was it just stuff that you were excited about for next year, or is there anything left this year that you wanted to talk about?
No, I mean, I can mention Endless Legend. You should play that game, I think. I mean, I've only played it for a little bit recently over the past week or so, but if you ever thought about buying Civilization Beyond Earth, you should buy Endless Legend instead, because it seems to be a Civilization game that actually does something different, unlike what Beyond Earth actually turned out to be, which was just a reskin, really. But I don't have much more to say about that. Yeah, I'd be more interested in talking about things that I'm excited for next year, which definitely looks like it should be more of a year than this year was.
Yeah, I think I've said it multiple times, but it's worth saying again. What Jeff Gerstmann said after, like, before E3, but after he saw, like, the judges' stuff, 2014 is going to make you really excited for the games of 2015.
That's actually a good quote, because, yeah, boy, I could do with something.
I don't know if, like, I've been pretty behind with keeping up with games over the past couple of years. Like, ever since we stopped doing the old podcast, really. I don't know about that for me personally. I don't know if I'm just getting like really old when it comes to games, but I'm starting to think that. I really am. I'm starting to think I am just becoming like a grumpy old man when it comes to video games. But yeah, there's not much next year that really whets my appetite. The new Mortal Kombat is, like, goes without saying.
I cannot
wait for that.
But I don't think I should say this, because I reckon you'll talk about it for half an hour if I do, but what's your thoughts on Street Fighter V?
I've never been a big Street Fighter fan, what they showed of it, part of the reason why I can't really get into Street Fighter is I do like to play fighting games, you know, like semi-competitive level, definitely more so than what the average person would. And what they showed of Street Fighter V actually looks pretty cool. And The only thing that kind of makes me think I might not get into it is because, much like Tekken at this point, it's a brick wall getting into a game like that. It's I mean, it's not as, I mean, I don't really know enough about it, but in terms of just depth, like, I don't think there's as much to it as something like Tekken, but, like, you know, the scene has been around for so long, the killers are very well established, like, you're going to have to go through a lot of defeat in order to actually get anywhere in something like Street Fighter. And I don't really have, like, a huge affinity for it like I do Mortal Kombat. I definitely enjoyed playing Street Fighter, you know, when I was a kid, but, you know, the MK is definitely what I've kind of stayed current with, likewise with Tekken, so those are the games that I will go forward with. Like, Tekken 7, like, looks like Tekken. Like, there's not much to say about that, in my opinion, other than that it just looks like Tekken. Whereas MKX looks pretty freaking interesting in terms of what they're doing to it, mechanics-wise. It's always kind of a coin flip. Like, they never, no two MKs play exactly the same. An MK10 could, you know, fall flat on its face, or it could be something, you know, truly amazing. We'll just have to wait and see.
What's your stance on, I think, was it Guilty Gear? Is that like the new fighting game that's come out?
Guilty Gear, yeah. There's a new Guilty Gear out. I think that's out now, isn't it, if I remember rightly?
I believe so, yeah.
But I'm, again, I'm like so behind with current stuff. I'm not sure what system it's even on.
All right, well, that's fair. So if you haven't had a chance to play it, then yeah, go on.
Let's have a look. December 4th, looking at, no, December 16th, sorry, looking at quick Wikipedia check. Yeah, that was another one that I didn't really get into playing. I'd love a new Bloody Roar. That would be cool. That was kind of one of my other old ass fighting games that I used to play.
All right, sweet. I don't know if I should put anything I'm excited for. I guess, yeah, Brad, what are you excited for next year?
I think the thing I've realized is the majority of things I'm looking forward to next year aren't actually confirmed to come out next year, so probably won't. So, like, games like The Witness, which I still have no idea whenever Jonathan Blow is actually going to bother to release that game, because he seems to just keep adding puzzles forever and ever and ever.
But he's got the money to keep the studio in business with the lights on, so I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess he seems to have a lot of money, so seems to be doing whatever he likes, pretty much. M++, another game that seems like it was finished about a year ago and still hasn't come out for some reason. Like, at PAX last year, they held a tournament in it where they played the multiplayer mode, and like, it looked pretty complete to me. I'm not sure what they're doing. why can't I play it yet?
I forgot about that one.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that.
I did like
it. It's one of the reasons I bought a PS4, I'm not gonna lie.
What is it? Is it PS4 exclusive?
That's the only platform it's been announced for. Not necessarily going to be an exclusive, but that's the only platform it's been announced for so far. Other games. All of the Tom Clancy games that have been rumored to come out in the near future, both The Division and Siege, I am quite excited for. The Division for being a sort of co-op-y, shootery RPG type thing that I can play with my friends, and Siege because having gotten heavily into Counter-Strike this year, which I probably should have mentioned during my top five list,
not
a game that came out this year. I've played like 100 hours of it in like the last 3 months or something stupid.
Nice.
Yeah, that game. Yeah, I've gotten back into competitive shooters in a way that I haven't in a long time. And Siege is like my ideal game mode. Like, you have one life per round, it's 5v5, and the destruction stuff looks cool, and it's objective-based. And that's pretty much all I need. That ticks all of my... Well, ignoring the destruction stuff, which is just a side note, but those three things that it ticks are pretty much all I look for in a competitive shooter to be fun. And I don't know if I mentioned Star Wars Battlefront might come out next year, maybe. I really like Star Wars Battlefront 2.
I would not be surprised if that came out next year, however...
I don't think it will. They look so unfinished at E3.
Will it be in form in next year?
Are you suggesting that they'll release it and it'll be broken, or they'll just release a beta?
Well, either or. it's
yeah,
EA.
This has been a year for that, too.
Yeah.
Thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much my stuff for next year, and ignoring Monster Hunter and Bloodborne and the stuff that I actually know is coming out.
Yeah, Bloodborne, that is one of the things that I got a PS4 for, and I will be excited when that comes out. Like having
And GTA 5 is coming out on PC. Sorry.
Yep.
Hype.
That's another one. I just like I can't wait for all the mods to come out.
Yeah.
For GTA 5.
Yeah.
It's like I can't wait until I'm just like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man with Hulk powers, just throwing cars. That is the Grand Theft Auto mod experience. I guess like a couple other things, not confirmed. I just wanted coming out at the end of this year, but Galaxy. Thoughts on that?
Oh, that looked cool. Yeah, is that from the people that made Skulls of the Shogun?
Yes, 17-bit.
Yeah,
I've played it. Like I've played it multiple times, I think. but yeah, like it seems like a really fun game every time I sit down to play it. I'm just wondering when it's going to come out. And then also, I want to get your guys' opinion on this. Because of, I want to say, last year's Game of the Year that you guys did for my electronic box, but what was it? This Life is Strange from the people who made Remember Me.
Okay.
So it's like they're getting rid of the gameplay side of it and just like they're making a story like it's I've been told it's like Gone Home meets Heavy Rain, which is going to be pretty weird. But it's, you guys didn't enjoy Remember Me, but it sounded like from the review you didn't like it because of the gameplay.
That was my biggest beef with it. Yeah, the actual idea of it was really cool, and I thought the world and aesthetic was awesome, but playing it just wasn't very fun, unfortunately.
Do you think you'll try out or at least put a decent look at their next take, since there isn't?
Yeah. If they're doing like what I think would be a logical thing for them to do with it, which is, I mean, if they can make the gameplay cool, then yeah, great. But you know, if they don't want to do that, then fine.
If they just take out all gameplay and just make it walk around story, I think.
Yeah, because if that's done well, like it can be just as good. So,
sweet. I guess just going around, final impressions or anything last you guys want to say. Also plugs, I guess. I think we're coming to the end, right?
Yeah, sure. That sounds pretty good to me.
All right. Ballard.
Final things I want to say about 2014.
Yep.
That's it.
any plugs? Plug your Twitch, maybe?
Yeah, sure. I did a little stream recently on Twitch, not Hitbox for once, just because it's been a long time since I streamed Twitch, and I thought, why not? I was just streaming some Elite Dangerous. That's just Hitbox. No, it's not Hitbox. Twitch.tv/Bollard. I'm also Hitbox.tv/Bollard.
Yep, I watched some of that, and you were playing Elite Dangerous, and you were flying sideways and couldn't understand how or why.
I got really angry. I don't know what happened there. That was really strange. It was basically, I realized I was in reverse halfway through. So I was next to a giant space station that's basically a sort of hexagon cube type thing. And the problem is it rotates so that it maintains fake gravity inside, right?
Yeah.
But I was next to it going backwards whilst it was rotating the other way, so it looked like I was going forwards. And I was just really confused as to what was going on.
Nice.
Space reference points. It's hard.
Video games, yeah. Video games in space are fun.
Yeah.
And then Joe.
Yeah, I kind of echo what Brad said, to be honest. 2014 was definitely, I mean, it ended great for me, like Geometry Wars coming out at the end of the year, really kind of saved this year for me being completely throwaway. But yeah, definitely not a great year in terms of games that came out. And even games that did came out, like I feel this was really a year for like, seemingly, no matter the game, there was some problem with it when it launched. It was, you know, I feel like this year that kind of got a little bit ridiculous with, you know, like fixes and bugs and like just games launching just in broken ways that were just ridiculous. So
yeah, the lines are getting blurred for like what is a consumer product and what is an early version. Like,
yeah.
DayZ technically came out December 2012, but it's like that is a good case of runaway success for something that is not playable, like not in a complete build. But yeah, video games are weird. I think it's been a good year for like really good iOS games to come out. Like iOS as a whole is kind of, you know, a wasteland of just clones and crappy games, but there's been some despair. Good stuff there. Yes, despair.
Threes was good, and yep. Monument Valley was good.
80 Days I've heard was good. There's been a lot of good stuff. But yeah, I guess this has been the Mighty Electronic Box special. Are you guys going to bring the podcast back, or is it just like...
I've thought about it, but I haven't been... I don't know about you, Brad, but I like literally have not been able to get in touch with John like on anything.
Yeah. So we lost Dave a long time ago.
Oh, no.
And it went down to a 3-man cast. Just me, Joe, and John. And yeah, we had John, like, we all agreed to sort of have a brief hiatus for a bit, just take a break for it. But I haven't spoken to John in ages. I don't think I'd want to run the podcast with just two of us. It would be a bit...
Yeah, it would be kind
for,
of...
For a weekly thing, it would be a bit too much, I think.
Yeah, I agree. But I've thought about bringing it back, especially I've been like slowly getting more back into games. Like the break I took was pretty severe. And that's definitely kind of coming to an end now. And hopefully next year, I at least... like I'm not that bothered about getting a new system, mainly because like pretty much most stuff comes out on PC. So, but if I do end up getting a new system, it'd be cool to start it up again.
Yeah, absolutely. I would be up for that. We just need to find a third man, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, just like doing a podcast is fun and a way to stay in touch with the games, and something that like it to the listeners, if there's anything you're passionate about, do a podcast about it and like bring some friends along. It's a neat thing. Thanks everyone for listening though, and thank you guys for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I wish you guys all Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, Happy December, Ween, Festivus, all that.
You named one that I could.
Yeah.
happy Yuletide givings. Whatever. Have a good day, everybody. Cheers.
Peace.
Bye.
No, don't. Record this bit, because this bit's the bit where John says something racist.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
I swear that happened on like two or three occasions. We caught John saying something really out of place.
Well, misappropriate. I used to edit it like that way on purpose.
It was all about the context, or rather lack of.
there was one in particular that was just golden, the way he said it. I remember thinking like, right, I know what I'm doing for the ending.